Hi, I'm Mike Heneke. I'm the co-chair of Hughes Hubbard and Reed's Sanctions Export Controls and AML Practice Group. Today is Tuesday, March 18th, and it is 4 p.m. U.S. Eastern. With me for episode two of Red Flags Rising, yet again, is my good friend Brent Carlson of the Berkeley Research Group. Brent, how are you doing today?
Excellent. Thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
Well, Brent, for episode two, it's springtime in Washington, D.C., or maybe almost springtime. Usually at the end of March and early April, people come to D.C. to see the cherry blossoms. But in the export control world, Brent, people are in D.C. this week for the BIS, the Bureau of Industry and Security's Update Conference. In the conference circuit world, Brent, this is a bit of an unusual event. It is organized and hosted by the government. All of the speakers are from the government. It's an important opportunity for practitioners and compliance professionals in this area to hear directly from the government what their priorities are and what they are doing. There was a lot of speculation up until very recently, Brent, here in DC, about whether or not political appointees would be speaking at the conference. We just found out that indeed they were, and Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick gave some pretty powerful remarks to kick off the conference. Brent, what did Secretary Lutnick say?
Yeah, this is really interesting. The New York Times picked up his remarks this morning. Secretary Lange said, quote, "We have had enough of people trying to make a dollar supporting the people who seek to destroy our way of life," unquote. Around that statement, there are three main takeaways that were picked up by the Times. Number one is that Secretary Lutnick and the Commerce Department is going to take a hard line against China. Number two, there's going to be an dramatic increase in enforcement, and number three, a dramatic increase in fines for those who break the rules. These are events that we've been anticipating for some time. Why don't we break them down?
Sure. We remember Brent well from the secretary's confirmation hearings. He said very bullish things about enforcement and talked about, in particular, China and the need to have strong export controls enforcement regarding things to or through that country. But taking the first thing, Brent, there, the hard line against China, what's your thought about what this means based on what we've been seeing and hearing?
This is a culmination of reports of a steady stream of diversion going into China. And it's been picked up also, we've seen it by Congress. It's been a bipartisan issue. We mentioned on our last pod there was the Senate's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations that issued a report on December 18th talking about enforcement. Recently, you've seen also Senators Elizabeth Warren and Josh Hawley issuing a joint letter to then incoming Secretary Lutnick to step up export controls and close those loopholes. This is all directed towards China. I mean, this is really where the United States and China are at right now. This is the technological, economic, and military competition of the 21st century.
Brent, they might already be taking the hard line. We saw not that long ago, just a few days ago, that Bloomberg has been reporting on what is a joint United States and Singaporean investigation into smuggling of chips that otherwise would be restricted for export to the mainland. Secretary Lutnick's remarks really underscore what may already be happening, but obviously it's important for him, now that he's Senate confirmed and in the seat, for him to make these strong statements at a conference, really to industry here in Washington, D.C. Now, Brent, the second thing that the New York Times reported from his speech is essentially a quote, dramatic increase, end quote, in enforcement. How do we expect that to play out?
This is another area, too, that we've identified and pointed out for a while. The signals out of BIS have been coming for a while as well, where they're going to leverage the high probability standard. That's going to allow BIS to bring more enforcement actions, resolve them quicker, and bring higher penalties to bear much faster. Going forward, Secretary Lutnick doesn't have to wait for the DOJ. He can go ahead and leverage this high probability standard. Why don't we break that down a little bit and explain how it's going to be very different from what we've seen in enforcement in the past?
Absolutely, Brent. Looking at a high level picture here of the waterfront of US government enforcement capabilities, we really, in a sense, have worlds colliding. You have an administrative enforcement regime that, from a legacy perspective, was very harsh, in that many aspects of the Export Administration regulations are strict liability, not only as to what we might call in law school the mens rea or the guilty mind element, which is necessary for DOJ to prove if they want to bring a criminal prosecution and put someone's liberty at stake and have them risk jail time. But also from, again, to get a little too into Latin maybe, an actus reus perspective, the facts, the actions taken, which is typically referred to in the EAR as awareness or knowledge. Many, many aspects of the EAR strict liability as to both of these elements. This is something that we unpack and try to illustrate in our upcoming article with World ECR and a similar version in Dow Jones on the glass onion of the EAR's knowledge element. But stepping back and looking at that, when you combine that world, which is very strict as to responsibility, but maybe historically was not perceived to be very strict as to consequence, with a white collar enforcement world, much like the world of the FCPA, where you start seeing higher fines and penalties, and we'll unpack that statement next, that part of Secretary Lutnick's statement next. I don't know that people are ready for what BIS could do if it chose to do so here. If you combine, wherever possible, strict liability enforcement with increased fines, we're talking about a dramatic change in mindset and approach. It certainly is the case that if you look, Brent, as we have many times back at the Senate PSI report, the majority staff of that committee in the last Congress highlighted the fact that there had not yet been really a watershed moment a la the Siemens case in the FCPA world, in the export controls enforcement world. But Lutnick's statements seem to be pushing us in that direction. Even where there's not strict liability responsibility from the perspective of knowledge or awareness, that's where the high probability standard comes in. It's not a free pass. It doesn't get you all the way to an actual knowledge requirement where maybe if you have plausible deniability, you would have a defense or an excuse. There's this intermediate step under the definition of knowledge that incorporates that same standard from the Model Penal Code and then the FCPA, where if you are aware of red flags indicating a high probability of a violation of the Export Administration Regulations, and you act without taking risk-based due diligence to reduce that probability, that's a separate offense. They need not prove actual knowledge. If you combine all of these things together, as we've written, BIS is very much primed the corporate enforcement engine. That was at the last update when you and I wrote that article for the NYU program on corporate compliance and enforcement. It seems like the trend is certainly continuing into this update.
So let me unpack that a little bit. Let's say I'm an exporter and I don't have any actual knowledge of what's going on. I sell it out the door and I have no idea where it's going after that. Does this mean then that I have to look at exactly who I'm selling to, even if I don't know that they may be shipping it on? Would I have to show that this would be allowable under export controls, or is it like, I mean, I don't have any actual knowledge. What's my problem?
Well, Brent, you're driving at the key question for trade compliance professionals and a huge challenge, which is where do you draw the line? How far do you need to look? For some aspects of the EAR, it might not matter, because if it's a strict liability provision of the EAR from the perspective of knowledge or awareness, like say shipping to someone who's on the entity list, that is the most strict of strict liability under the EAR. It doesn't matter what you knew or what you're aware of in those cases. BIS could hold up your product, say it was found with somebody on the entity list, and impose a civil penalty on you just by that fact. Where you're talking about an element of the EAR that turns on knowledge or awareness, in a sense, BIS might be thinking they're actually giving companies a benefit by limiting what otherwise they could make strict liability as to awareness or knowledge. But there you're under high probability awareness. What has been previewed through years of guidance by BIS is exactly the FCPA enforcement playbook that we saw for the last two decades. It is about what probabilities are you aware of. By issuing guidance, BIS is essentially trying to influence where that line is. It certainly is influencing where it thinks that line is and against which line it will judge you and your actions. So even if you might have an ultimate defense to whether you were really on an awareness of a high probability, to get there, you may have to go through outreach, investigations, subpoenas, maybe defending allegations in front of an administrative law judge even. So it could take you several years to get to where you need to go. The most important thing to do is read the guidance, analyze the red flags identified by BIS. Think about what questions do those red flags really compel you to ask? What questions do you need to ask of your colleagues, your stakeholders, your company in order to assess whether any of those red flags are in existence in the transactions that you're doing? Then getting answers to those questions and assessing whether those appear to be credible. You cannot do this, obviously, with every item in global commerce. You cannot do that. It just would be physically impossible. So then the challenge becomes, and this gets to your line drawing point, Brent, where do you draw the line? You have to do a risk assessment. You have to find some way of, within an objective framework, establishing what subjective criteria you're going to consider each time, and then weighing or scoring those criteria in such a way that you are able to defend decisions about which red flags, which characteristics, which circumstances present the highest risks to you of an EAR or export controls violation, and then doing a risk-based process to mitigate those risks in those instances. As we've said on the last pod, you're going to make mistakes. We're not the police. You're not even a financial institution for most of you. I think, as I said exactly on the last pod. So it's all about defending the choices that you're making and defending the line drawing that you have to do if and when something bad happens. Part of the difficulty in getting your arms around this concept is that you set the line, especially if you are not subject to an investigation, if you are not subject to a monitorship. So it can be a little terrifying to set that line and then walk it. But if you have a defensible process in place that is based on reliable, meaningful inputs, that's a line you can hold.
Just to add to that a little bit, also in the BIS guidance, it says you can't be self-blind. So it's like you say, well, I didn't identify a red flag. The question is, did we look? How would these actions and these decisions made, how would they look if it made the front page of the Wall Street Journal, if it came to light? I mean, it's one thing. It's like, yeah, okay, sweep something under the rug. It's fine. Nobody will notice. We're in a world now where everybody will notice. The focus is on this. It's a priority of the U.S. government. It's a priority of Secretary Lechnick and the America First trade policy.
Brent, it's good of you to mention the America First trade policy. 2 weeks from today is April 1st, although that's also April Fool's Day. That's also the day that the secretaries of commerce and state need to submit their reports to the president on many aspects of the America First trade policy, including that they make recommendations to him regarding where there are export control loopholes and how to plug those loopholes, how to stop them.
Absolutely. April 1st, key day to watch.
Brent, the third point from the New York Times reporting about Howard Lutnick's remarks was that we should expect a dramatic increase, not only in enforcement activity, but the fines for those who break the rules. What are your thoughts on that, Brent?
Secretary Lechnick is going to know what it's going to take to motivate behavior. We go back to that Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations report back in last December. They mentioned that prior to the Siemens FCB case 15 years ago, the highest FCPA penalty was $44 million. Siemens came in at $1.6 billion. I think we're going to see a jump of that scale of magnitude. It's like Dr. Evil in the Austin Powers movies, where he's trying to hold the world at ransom. He says, I'm going to hold you ransom for $1 million. Then everybody starts laughing. It's not going to be $1 million anymore. It's going to be much more than that. I think that it's going to be higher than those FCPA penalties, because we're talking national security. This is talking about the safety and security of the people of the United States and its allies through civil actions. Up to twice the value of the transaction. And any CEO out there and any board of directors realizes that they could be underwater with transactions losing twice the value of what the revenue is on those. So that's going to be a game changer.
Totally, Brent. And for anyone familiar with white collar corporate enforcement of any kind, the reality is, if you're going to enter into a settlement discussion with the government to resolve their investigation, there's always negotiation around amounts, including what is a transaction, what is a violation, what is being doubled. In the world of global trade, it could escalate pretty dramatically very fast. Well, Brent, we're at the point where now at the second episode, we can say truthfully, back by popular demand, is Brent Carlson's managing up. So Brent, how can trade compliance professionals best manage up to stakeholders, to management, to boards, based on Secretary Lutnick's remarks from today?
It's very simple, look up. There was a movie a few years ago about some meteor coming into the earth, and everybody who was not looking up, if they would just look up, they would see it's coming. It's very similar to a book that came out, I think it's about 10 years ago, called The Gray Rhino, How to Recognize and Act on the Obvious Dangers We Ignore. Export control enforcement is the gray rhino, or the meteor coming that could potentially cause damage to a lot of companies out there. So look up and take action.
Brent, what are the key takeaways for you based on what we learned today?
Let's start with Secretary Lutnick's quote. We have had enough of people trying to make a dollar supporting the people who seek to destroy our way of life. The key takeaways, number one, is hard line on China. Number two, a dramatic increase in enforcement. And number three, a dramatic increase in fines.
Brent, we've just finished episode two of the Red Flags Rising podcast. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Be well.
Be well.